Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soci.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soci. The show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Well, friends, we got through another week. Shameless plug, I want to get out of the way. Next week is the Indie Bard Fest production of A Midsummer Night's Dream, which is going to run July 21st through the 24th at Arts for Lawrence in Lawrence, Indiana. It's going to be an outdoor event. It's a free event. You can go to the Arts for Lawrence website, or you can go to indiebardfest.com to make quote-unquote reservations. But there's going to be food trucks. The Pork and Beans Brass Band is going to start performing at 6:30 p.m., and then Midsummer will happen at 7:30 p.m. And this play is directed, I should say, by yours truly. So I have been out of the evening screening mode for a while, and I hope to get back into the swing of things before my next theatrical adventure, which I'll share for later. But anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun. If you have kids and you love Disney's Princess and the Frog, this is a good gateway. I always thought Midsummer was probably one of the best, if not the best, gateway to your introduction to Shakespeare. So anyway, come check that out. It's going to be a lot of fun. This production is set in Athens, Louisiana, and you'll see why when you come see the show. There's one new film that opened this week, and I know it's at the Can-Can, and the timing of it, good and bad, for a couple reasons. It's the CNN Films documentary, Gabby Giffords Won't Back Down. Now, I got to watch this documentary last week, and I know there's a couple things that kind of coincide with it. One, she just, of course, received the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and I'm sure that had something to do with it. When you watch a film like this, the question becomes, how much of an infomercial is this? And there is a bit of that with the Giffords documentary, as well as her husband, Mark Kelly, who is running for office. But it does talk about her story and things that led up to her getting shot and having to physically rehabilitate herself and get back into the public limelight, especially assisting her husband in his political career. And by the way, Mark Kelly, when they make a biopic on this, because I kept writing in my notes, bald Hugh Jackman. So, you got that piece of casting taken care of. But it does go through the surgeries, the rehabilitation, and it kind of goes back and forth between her rehab and her career. So that part's pretty cool. Kudos to CNN's budget for pulling a lot of songs, a lot of classic rock songs. Of course, the title of the film is Gabby Giffords Won't Back Down. Yeah, they got that tune as well. But there's a part of her rehab was reciting and singing certain songs, so they spent the money to get the rights of the song, so I will give that to them. But anyway, so, Presidential Medal of Freedom last week. I watched this documentary the morning of July 4th, and I finished a documentary, and then the shootings happened in Highland Park, Illinois. So not the greatest timing. This is not the first time, watching the film happening right before R.V. Wade. So anyway, I was given flashbacks to when the China Syndrome was released, and then what, I think it was 2 weeks later, Three Mile Island hit, and then that film became an even bigger hit than it already was. So as long as you are aware that it's kind of an infomercial, but it does tell a still an inspiring and at times frustrating because of the subject matter, because of how she was shot in the first place. But yeah, CNN Films has Gabby Gifford's Won't Back Down. That is now out. It's at the Can-Can Indy. Speaking of stuff that's coming around Indianapolis, Indie Shorts, heartlandfilms.org. The Indie Shorts International Film Festival is happening July 19th through the 21st. And of course, these are Academy Award qualifying shorts. There's going to be 150 films, in-person screenings at the Living Room Theaters, Newfields, and the Indianapolis Art Center, as well as streaming. So, jump on that. Once again, heartlandfilm.org/indieshorts. The Indie Shorts International Film Festival running July 19th through the 24th. Don't miss that. Going around the horn, why not? Over at the Tibbs Drive-In this weekend on Screen 1 is Thor and Black Phone. Screen 2, where the Crawdads Sing and the Karate Kid. Screen 3, Minions and Jurassic World. And Screen 4, Paws of Fury and Top Gun. All of those are happening at the Tibbs Drive-In. Over at the Skyline this weekend is Minions and National Lampoon's Vacation happening this weekend. A couple other notes. July 27th is Thrust plus Dinner in America. And then, of course, the Super Monster Movie Fest happening in August 26th at the Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville. Over at the Historic Artcraft Theater in Franklin this weekend, 2 and 7:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday, The Egg and I, for you fans of Ma and Pa Kettle. On Tuesday, July 19th at 10 a.m., as a part of the Summer Break series, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. And then Friday and Saturday, 2 and 7:30 p.m. on July 22nd and 23rd, the original Mamma Mia. Just fast forward it to Dancing Queen and start from there. Tuesday, July 26th at 10 a.m. as a part of the Summer Break series, the 1979 movie, The Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Movie. And then July 29th and 30th, 2 and 7:30 p.m., that's Friday and Saturday, the original Cape Fear from 1962. All of that happening at the Historic Artcraft Theater in Franklin. As I mentioned, Gabby Gifford's Won't Back Down is at the Can-Can, as well as the 400 Blows, Lost Highway, Elvis, and the French. And then coming soon on July 16th will be Glory. July 17th, The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas with Vanity Rex. Nope, it opens on the 21st. And opening on the 22nd, Marcel the Shell with Shoes On. Neptune Frost also opens the 22nd, as well as Notorious for the Hitchcock series they have going on over there. The Automat opens on July 24th. The Sacrifice premiere on the 25th. All of that is happening at the Historic Can-Can Theater. Well, they are historic in a different way. Over at the Landmark Cinemas, Keystone Arts, as a part of their Retro Replay series, they have on July 19th, the original Badlands, and then on July 26th, Mad Max Fury Road. That is part of their Retro Replay, and of course they have Thor, Where the Crawdads Sing, Paws of Fury, Minions, and Elvis, as well as Top Gun and Jurassic World. All of that at the Artcraft Theaters. I wanted to mention my guys at Golan Globus Theater, their podcast. This week they are covering Street Fighter, and if anything else, just to watch Raul Julia chew scenery. And I think if you go on YouTube, you can watch just those scenes. But that's what the guys at Golan Globus Theater have going on this week. We'll grab a pencil in just a moment, but there's some dead people we like because we never have time for dead people we don't like. And Ni Kuang passed away, who was a well-known novelist in Hong Kong and screenwriter. He was 87. It was credited with over 300 screenplays, but best known for films like The One-Armed Swordsman, The 36th Chamber of Shaolin, Inframan, Enter the Fat Dragon, that was directed and starred Sammo Hung. Worked a lot with the Shaw Brothers in Hong Kong. So thanks for all your work over there. Also passing away, a couple of that guys, Hall of Fame that guys, both went way into their 90s, so salute to this. But first, Larry Storch, gentleman best known for a lot of stuff on television, of course, F Troop probably being the most famous. But looking back at some of the film titles of note, going all the way back to the 1950s with Gun Fever from 1958, Captain Newman M.D., from 1963, Bus Riley's Back in Town, Sex and the Single Girl, The Great Race, all from the mid-60s, The Great Bank Robbery, not the train one, from 1969, Airport 75, The Happy Hooker Goes to Washington, yeah, I saw it, what of it, Without Warning from 1980, SOB, and A Fine Mess. So salute to Larry Storch at 99. And an L.Q. Jones, and too many Sam Peckinpah players going with Bo Hopkins and James Caan before him. L.Q. Jones lived to be 94. Besides being a Hall of Fame that guy, directed the film, the cult film, A Boy and His Dog with Don Johnson and Jason Robards, and the voice of Tim McIntyre as the dog. But, yeah, his credits go all the way back to the mid-50s. The film version of The Naked and the Dead appeared in two Elvis Presley westerns, Flaming Star and Stay Away Joe. But, yeah, it was also one of the Sam Peckinpah players appearing in Ride the High Country, Major Dundee, The Wild Bunch, The Battle of Cable Hogue, and Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid. Other films of note include Hang 'Em High, The Hunting Party, Brotherhood of Satan, which also has Strother Martin in it, White Line Fever, Mother Jugs and Speed, The Beast Within, Lone Wolf McQuade, the 1980s film Bulletproof, not the other one. And then what was great was near the end of his career, got some really good supporting roles in some major high-profile pictures. He was Pat Webb in Martin Scorsese's Casino, was in The Edge, The Patriot, The Mask of Zorro, and his final film from 2006, Robert Altman's A Prairie Home Companion. So salute to L.Q. Jones and Larry Storch and our screenwriters. So, all right, before we grab a pencil, there's a couple of videos of note I want to share with you. Both are from Film Movement. From Romania is a drama called Poppy Field that has the film starts out with two men who are sharing an apartment together in Bucharest. The boyfriend is visiting from Paris, trying to find some couple time. Romanian's sister shows up, the boyfriend. And so there's this aspect of it, of just a couple trying to find time together. And we find out that the Romanian is a police officer. And the film goes with and takes a major swerve when he is called into to duty because of a protest that's happening at a movie theater. And we follow the police officer because it's an anti-gay protest of a gay film that's being shown. And we spend the rest of the time, for the most part, in the theater and how the police officer responds to the protest and his own sexuality. It gets a really claustrophobic feel of finding out what he's going to do next, how he's going to handle things. A character from his past shows up, not the boyfriend, but it works. It's about 82 minutes, and thank God, because there near the end there was moments where I thought I was writing in my notes, get on with it, and it does, but it just teeters. It there's a little wobbling, but it doesn't fall down. So, so that's Poppy Field from Romania, and then we have from Japan a 70-minute little ditty called Sexual Drive, where it looks like there are three stories that are connected. From a mysterious stranger, and I don't want to give too much away about that, but we have what looks like another two men encounter, and as we find out, it's not that kind of encounter. It's not the Poppy Field, but we find out that the gentleman invited over has had an affair with the host's wife. And so it's one of those things of what happens when two men confront each other when they share the same not share, but when they what they have in common is his wife, her lover. So that is brought up. We also get a woman in her car who accidentally bumps into somebody, literally bumps into somebody with her car, and as time goes on, they know each other. She just doesn't know it. And so then finally, there's some intense... I say there's also an underlining theme throughout the film of food and food eating and their connections to that. So... It's intriguing, and near the end we get a final moment with the mysterious stranger that kind of connects all the stories together. So, you know, it's short and it's intriguing, and we also have an advertising agent who's trying to break up with his lover, and they're all connected together. It's only 70 minutes, because of that, it works. I think it doesn't feel dragged out. But yeah, from Film Movement is Sexual Drive from Japan. All right, friends, let's grab a pencil. Let's find out what you've been watching this week. We start on Twitter with Andrew writing that Belfast was wonderful. NYC Cinema Confidential writes 4th of July and the McPherson tape. Bean Drew Moore writes, my wife was out of town, so I watched a bunch of horror movies. The Descent, Christine, Hellraiser, and The Empty Man. We also watched Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon before she left. So thank you there. Going over to Facebook, Linda writes Elvis. Lindsay writes, I watched Fire Island. It was okay-ish. I did finish it, but would never watch it again. Well, that happens, Lindsay. That's why we do these, so okay. Homeroom writes Elvis times 2. Okay, that's a lot of Elvis. That's a lot of Baz Luhrmann. Okay. David writes Thor, 16 Candles, and The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. Sam writes Ginger Snaps, Fender Bender, The Cleansing Hour, Scare Package, What Keeps You Alive, Tucker and Dale vs. Evil, Cabin Fever, The Boy Next Door, Honeydew, and Body Bags. Sam has a theme going. Christian writes Thor and Argo. Jackie writes House of Gucci. Lou Harry writes Jerry and Marge Go Large, Mint Theater, and the Mint Theater's Pro Shot of Conflict. Nikki writes Everything Everywhere All at Once, as well as Seven. Abdul writes Love and Thunder. Jessica writes Everything Everywhere All at Once. Joan writes The Lincoln Lawyer. That's the film, not the series. I know Joan. Doug writes From Hand to Mouth, A Lady of Chance, The Barnetts of Windpole Street, Monsieur Verdot, The Naked Spur, and Bikini Beach. All of those are for academic purposes, right, Doug? Teresa writes, Barb and Star go to visit Del Mar, Meatballs, and Charlie's Angels. Gregory writes, Spectre, No Time to Die, and Mary Queen of Scots. Dee Dee Sorvino drinks with Dee Dee. I swear I'll get back on the podcast in a couple weeks. She writes Ocean's 8. Stephen writes Nancy Drew Reporter with Bonnie Granville and Frankie Thomas. Thank you, Stephen. Joshua writes Thor. Roxanne writes Polly Stern, I Am a Cliche. Gary writes Mad Love, Encanto, Thor, Love and Thunder, The Petrified Forest. Adam writes Everything Everywhere All at Once. Eric puts a gif of a girl putting a box over her head. Okay, hang in there. Megan writes A Kiss Before Christmas and then wrote, but only because my dad had it on and I had to watch it. We've all been there. So Bill writes, or Kate writes Bill W. Kurt writes, watched Detroit 9000 yesterday. Daniel writes Nocturne, Who You Gonna Call? The Secrets of Dumbledore, Christmas Holiday, 1944, Ghostbusters, The Heartbreak Kid, The Barefoot Executive, The Spiral Staircase, Eye of the Needle, While the City Sleeps, I Used to Go There, The January Man, Mildred Pierce, and Honky Tonk. Thank you, Daniel. Nancy writes the 1982 version of The Thing, Super Creepy, 50 First Dates, and The Wedding Singer. And then she wrote, Comedy Central had a Drew and Adam day. I forgot how much I love 50 First Dates. There you go. I like the Drew and Adam portion of 50 First Dates. I don't need anything else, but I am not making the film. Eric writes, First View, The Northman, rewatches of The Lady Eve, Only Angels Have Wings, Resurrection, underappreciated film from 1980 with Ellen Burstyn and Sam Shepard. I'm glad you revisited that, Eric. My dad and I got to see that in the theaters when I was 10. Burstyn dies and comes back and has the power to heal, and the conflict between it for use of good and use of not so good it's excellent. Eric also watched George Stevens' The Talk of the Town and The Passing Strange Elephant Walk from 1954. Jay writes, saw Minions last night. Yes, two adults went to see it. We also got hooked with the kids years ago and just had to see it. Fun movie. Love the Minions. I do too, Jay. So much so that my kid M got me a giant Minion piggy bank. It's not a piggy bank, but a Minion bank, basically, which I don't keep change in, but it's desk decoration in my office. Seeing Thor tonight and Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris on Saturday. I'll let you know about those two. Thank you, Jay. That's what we do here at Film Sociology. Just let us know what you've been watching. Cassandra writes, still working our way through Marvel, slowly. We're up to Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Hang in there, Cassandra. Nikki writes, The Lost City and just deemed it eh. Stephanie writes, Frantic. Taylor writes, Tommy. Baby Snakes, Captain Marvel, 2014 Godzilla, and Andrew Blake's High Heels. Cassie writes Blow Dry, The Howl of Roger, and The Curse. Mike writes Turner and Hooch. Rachel writes Thor, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, and Split. And by the way, when I say Thor, of course, I mean Thor, Love and Thunder. I'm just saving time. Jeff writes The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. David writes Dr. Strangelove and The Pink Panther. Kathy writes Dead Again. Nick Rogers. Oh, and shout out to Sam Wattemeyer. I forgot to mention his last name on the podcast. Nick Rogers writes, Jerry and Marge Go Large, The Man from Toronto, The Unforgivable, Bruised, and The Sea Beast. Wayne writes, Love and Thunder twice. Wow. Kaylin writes, good luck to you, Leo Grand, Ghostbusters Afterlife, Last Night in Soho, and Turner and Hooch. Jamie writes, oh, Jamie and Kaylin together, that's fun. Driving Miss Daisy, Mermaids, Downton Abbey, A New Era, and George Carlin jamming in New York. Jamie, I'm glad you got to see that. I finally watched the George Carlin HBO documentary last weekend and really enjoyed it. I grew up on Carlin. That was one of the records my brother and I would put on when my parents left for the evening. Got to see him at Whiting Auditorium in Flint, my hometown, during the Place for My Stuff tour. And, so I knew about the career arc of his comedy, didn't know so much about his family life. I knew he had some substance abuse problems, didn't know there was other problems. So, yeah, the great comics go through a lot of pain. So, yeah, but I still love him. Pam writes, An Affair to Remember and Body Heat. Oh, hey, Pam, Body Heat. Yeah, I saw that in the theater with my dad as well. Explains a lot. So much so that when my wife and I were in London for our honeymoon, there was a production of The Graduate with Kathleen Turner as Mrs. Robinson. Lynn knew what Body Heat had done to me, and she asked if I wanted to go see it. And I said, that's probably not a good idea on our honeymoon. So one of my better moments as a husband. But, yeah, Body Heat's amazing. And while we're at it, of course, Karina Longworth just finished her erotic 80s series on her podcast, You Must Remember This. One of the years was 1981. They talk about Body Heat as well as the remake of The Postman Always Rings Twice with Jessica Lange and Jack Nicholson. So there will be an erotic 90s. For me, it can't arrive fast enough. So, but yeah, check out You Must Remember This as well. It's a fun podcast. Back to the list. Phil writes Sputnik. Robert writes, Robert Muggy, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Like a Rolling Stone, The Life and Times of Ben Fong Torres, Leave Her to Heaven, In Old Chicago, The Snows of Kilimanjaro, Desert Fury, and A Kiss Before Dying. That's the original one. Judy writes Thor. Tom writes Gandhi. Cindy writes, it's a multi-episode show called We Crashed. I kept hoping that I would like Jared Leto. The show confirms in the fact that I really do not like Jared Leto. And Brian jumps in. Yes, I'm right there with you. He annoys the crap out of me. Well, there you go. Linda writes, Field of Dreams, Cried Like a Baby, and Blythe Spirit. Megan writes, big movie week here, Fatal Attraction, We Can Be Heroes, and Daddy Daycare. Donald writes, he's rewatched RRR. Devin writes, Big Hero 6. Michael writes, Jack Reacher, Never Go Back, Stillwater, Tarzan the Ape Man, A Call to Spy, and Charlie Chan at the Circus. Michelle writes, Thor and Red Notice. Scotty writes, I saw this last weekend. It was enjoyable, but I kind of wanted it to be better than it was. And that's the film Brian and Charles, which is now out in theaters. Marianne writes, watched Live and Let Die. And Octopussy, the Shark Tank scene, was scary. Lisa writes, The Last Bus. David writes, Belfast. Kevin writes, A Very Sordid Wedding. Bonnie writes, Top Gun Maverick and the 355. Or the 355. Or the 355. It's all in the title. Kevin writes, The Deadly Mantis. Catherine writes, Thor and Nightmare Alley. Rosanna writes, Free Guy, So Great. Moveen writes, it's all true. Orson Welles' last unfinished film and the history behind RKO Studios pulling the plug on funding. Man in the Field, The Life and Art of Jim Devlin, and The Man Who Brought the Table to the Farm. Thank you. Sarah writes, the 2001 Planet of the Apes. Why, you ask? Marky Mark, my dear friend. I didn't ask Sarah, but thank you for sharing. I kind of figured that's why you watched it. Don't worry. What was it? I was in Midsummer Rehearsal this week, and somebody brought up Helena Bonham Carter in Planet of the Apes. Right, guys? Yeah. And finally, Kathleen writes, Downton Abbey, The New Era. And there you go, friends. That's what we've been watching this week. So hopefully you got to watch some movies that are some good movies that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. I should mention, yeah, I did finally last week, after the death of James Caan, I did have a double feature of The Killer Elite, the Sam Peckinpah film, with Bo Hopkins, Sky Point to him, and Rollerball. And so that was Friday night. And then Saturday I revisited Thief, Michael Mann's film. Many feel, and I'm probably with him on that, that Thief is James Caan's greatest performance. No disrespect. Well, greatest leading performance. No disrespect to Sonny and The Godfather. But, yeah, I think on the next week's Blues House Party, you'll hear some music inspired by Thief as well as some other films I've been watching. Look, cross-promotion. Because sometimes, friends, that's just how the set list works. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent Breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. One more time. A Midsummer Night's Dream at Arts for Lawrence. That's in Fort Harrison. July 21st through the 24th. You can go to Arts for Lawrence website as well as IndieBardFest.com for reservations. It's free, but you still got to go online. The Pork and Beans Brass Band will open at 6:30, and then the play will be at 7:30. There will be food trucks. You can bring lawn chairs and blankets. It's going to be a lot of fun watching a Shakespeare play set in Louisiana, and it's directed by yours truly. So I'll be out there as well. We'd love to meet you, and hopefully you get to enjoy our little romp of midsummer. So that's next weekend, and we'll try this again next week. Thank you for listening. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!